All right, once again, it is great to see everyone here this evening. It is a blessing to be here. We're thankful for your presence. I got to just throw out a couple things there for you to consider. My right leg is killing me. I got a cramp in it, so it's been bugging me for the last half day or so. And if you see me kind of gripping onto the podium and pausing for a moment, that's what it is. So just bear with me on that. And I just want to tell you, this lesson that I have for this evening, I was really looking over it again and again this afternoon, and I was thinking it was kind of long, and I know that's the last thing you want to hear. So I think what I'm going to do is chop it off at the end and carry that part over into another lesson. And so in my mind, as I go on with this lesson, I'm going to try to find a good logical place to end this. And if for some reason everything goes well and I can finish that last part, I will. But this, of course, is part three to our sermon series. We're talking about life after death. And, you know, one of the things that I was also thinking about, if you've been here the last two Sunday mornings, we've been talking about an issue sometimes is folks trying to form God into something else or making something else and forming it into God. You know, we're trying to turn God into something or turn something else into God. And I think that we do this in this area of what comes after death sometimes. I think, not us specifically, but as people, you know, because we want to be comforted in our minds concerning what happens after we die. And so what we're going to do is continue to have an honest look at Scripture and see what God says. You know, if we're going to learn about what happens during this life and after this life, or we're going to talk about hell, we're going to talk about heaven, we need to look at God's Word and see what He has to say and remove any preconceived ideas or notions that we may have had. And just simply look at what he says. And so what I want to do here in this lesson is look at what I call the traditional view of what happens when we die. This is all before the return of Jesus. And look at what I call a more complete view, if you will. And I've kind of changed my view on this several years ago in this study. And so that's what we're going to do here this evening, kind of play it by ear time-wise and see what we can cover. It's kind of a classroom type of lesson in what we're looking at this morning. So let's start off with these questions again, like we did last week. Are you confident in your eternal salvation? You need to be confident. You need to be confident in it. The Lord wants you to have confidence. Do you have confidence that if the Lord were to return today, do you know without doubting, confident, that you'd go and be with Jesus for eternity? Do you know what the Bible says about your eternal salvation? So that's why this study matters. That's why looking into these things really matters. And also, I think looking at these topics gets us to meditate on the fact that we're not staying here. We're all going to die. Not only are we going to die, but everyone we love, they're going to die. Right? And so we need to know these things, I think, to motivate us to be faithful, to be prepared. So we're going to do an honest study and ask and answer some questions here. So beginning with what I called, I don't get lost in what I've named some of these things here. But what I call the traditional view, and let me explain what I mean by the traditional view. And just hear me out, especially till we get to the second point in all of this. So the traditional view is this. When we die, the wicked and the righteous, When we die, you know, if you die outside of Christ, wicked, you go into the Hadean realm and you go to torment. If you're righteous, you're in Christ when you die physically, right? The Bible teaches us the body, Ecclesiastes 12:7, goes back to the dust, but then our soul is going to go on to paradise. And most brethren believe that to be in the Hadean realm. Specifically what we read in Luke, the 16th chapter, right? With Lazarus and the rich man. And we wait there until the day of judgment when Jesus returns. And then we go and be with him. You know, judgment day, we go and be with him. Heaven, of course, those in torment go on to hell. The Greek word, Gehenna. And so that's more or less the traditional view. And, you know, so understand this. When you read of Hades or the Hadean realm in your Bible, that's literally the realm of the unseen, the realm of the dead. And we know that, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, you know, his body was laid in the tomb, but his spirit went into the Hadean realm, into paradise. Right, and that's what we see here in Luke, the 16th chapter, 19 through 31, the story here, rich man and Lazarus. We've talked about that two lessons in a row here. And, of course, after 3 days, he rose again. And so when you read about the Hadean realm, you have, you know, torment. That's where the rich man was. And you have paradise, also called Abraham's bosom, on that side of the Hadean realm. And, you know, and those that are righteous on the day of judgment go on to be in heaven with God. And of course, those in torment go on to be in eternal hell or Tartar torment for eternity. And so that's what I want us to think about. Okay, that's the traditional view. And you know, that's what I believed for a long time. But I think it was an incomplete understanding of things, right? Now, before going to this next point, understand this. Whether paradise is in the Hadean realm or if it's in the heavenly realm, know this, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be greater than words can describe, right? So if you're not gathering all of this in your mind and it's hard to kind of grasp this, just understand it's going to be great, okay? And I just think these are things that it's interesting to know, and it might be helpful for us to know for several different reasons. You know, and that's why we talk about this. And so let me just put this up here. So when we die, our body returns to dust, soul goes to paradise or torment in the Hadean realm. Saved go to paradise, unsaved to torment. And then at judgment day, being reunited with the resurrected body. So, you know, and this is based heavily upon what we read here in Luke 16, 19 through 31. But I want you to notice especially verses 22 through 26. Let me read this to you just as a reminder. So it was that the beggar died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So you got paradise, Abraham's bosom, Lazarus is there in the Hadean realm. Rich man died, wicked, went in the Hadean realm, but was on the torment side. Right? There's a great goal fixed. Once you're there, you're there. But you have, it seems, an awareness of what's going on beyond that. And so if you do have your Bible open, now I want you to jump over to Luke, the 23rd chapter. All right, Luke chapter 23 is something to consider in this. Of course, we read of the account of Jesus and the thief on the cross. And Jesus says this to that thief, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." All right, so both of them would be in paradise after their deaths, or physical deaths, right? Which is absolutely correct. So we see here that paradise was not in heaven where God dwells at this point. And, you know, and this is based on that statement also, John the 20th chapter, verse 17. John chapter 20, verse 17. You know, Jesus says this here to Mary, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." So Jesus had not ascended to the Father yet. But he had been to paradise. All right, the thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And he was there the 3 days in the grave until he was resurrected the third day. And so those words Jesus made were after promising the thief that he would be with him in paradise, yet he hadn't ascended to the Father. All right, now jump over to Acts, the second chapter. So this is suggesting, therefore, that paradise was not heaven or in heaven. Some further evidence that paradise was not in heaven yet. Go here to the day of Pentecost, Acts, the second chapter. And begin reading in, let's say, verse 29. "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not to be left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption." So his soul went into the Hadean realm. "Thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Mary, don't touch me. I haven't ascended to my Father yet." All right, verse 32, "This Jesus God has raised up, by which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says to himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstools.'" Now, so concerning Christ, we know that his soul wasn't left in Hades, the realm of the dead, which included paradise. But after his resurrection, Jesus ascended to the right hand of God, right where heaven is. Acts 2 and verse 33 here. David, you know, surely he went to paradise in Hades when he died. You know, as did Abraham and Lazarus and the thief on the cross. But we need to note here that Peter said, verse 34, David did not ascend into the heavens, suggesting at that point someone could die, be in Hades, paradise, and yet not be in heaven with a father. Right? Just like Jesus told to Mary there in John 20 and verse 17. Now, kind of having that all in mind there, the traditional view, remember we're talking about what happens to the souls of righteous people between their death and the judgment day. Right? After the judgment day, everything is different. All right, so now let's talk about a few things concerning this view here. And this explanation for what happens after death, I think it appears to be consistent with the information that we have prior to the ascension of Christ, right? But in light of what we just looked at here, what's revealed in scriptures, after Jesus ascends to heaven, I think that traditional view might need a little bit of revision. At least it did for me. Maybe it does for you also. But only concerning what happens to the spirits of the righteous between death and the resurrection here. And, you know, if you read a lot of books on this kind of thing, it's also called the intermediate state, if you've heard that phrase before. But here's some reasons to suggest that maybe revision of that view is something that we need to think about. Or at least the way I think about it is maybe it's an incomplete view. You know, after Jesus ascends to heaven there in Acts chapter 1, paradise, the resting place of the righteous, I believe now is spoken of as being in heaven. Paradise is now in heaven. You know, when you think about what Jesus said to Mary a little bit earlier there, right? He had not yet ascended to the Father, i.e. heaven, although he had been to paradise prior to his resurrection, those 3 days in the grave. But go to 2 Corinthians real quick, chapter 12. I want you to note here how paradise is used synonymously with the third heaven. Right? And all that means, the first heaven is basically the sky where the birds fly. The second heaven is where the star and the moon and the sun is. But the third heaven is the dwelling place of God. And I want you to notice here how Paul talks about that's where paradise is. I just read verses 2 through 4. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So, where paradise was once distinct from heaven, now it is not. And after the ascension of Christ to God's right hand, it seems to me that paradise is now where Jesus is. Jesus is at the right hand of God in the heavenly realm. Now think about this. We could talk about a lot of passages. Philippians 1 verse 23. You know, the expectation is for those in Christ when we die is to be with Christ. That's what Paul's saying in Philippians chapter 1 verses 2 and 3. And then here in 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. So we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, and 10, you know, if we die, we should live together with him, is basically what Paul writes right there. And so I don't think we should argue, therefore, that the Christian who dies will not see Christ until after the resurrection. I think all of that denies a lot of passages, explicitly, implicitly. I put several passages up there on your screen. But also consider this, the book of Revelation. Jump over to Revelation 6. The book of Revelation speaks of the righteous dead being in heaven. While there's still a lot going on in heaven. Now here's one thing that really got me thinking about this. Maybe you've thought about it before. I don't know. We're not going to read it all. If you read Revelation 6, beginning in verse 9, basically, you have the saints there. They're upset over what's going on the earth. You know, Lord, when is your righteous judgment going to take place on these people doing these bad things to your people? Right, so they were troubled. Right, they were troubled. Yet they're in heaven, but they're troubled with what's going on earth. Now, when you read passages, and we say it all the time, like Revelation 21, verse 4, when we get to heaven, no tears, no sorrow, all of that good stuff. Right. Well, how do you rectify the two here? Yet they were troubled, but yet no tears in heaven, like we say. Right. Could it? I think what makes that make sense is these folks here in Revelation 6 and verse 9, these saints, they're in paradise in the heavenly realm because they're with Christ. And until the judgment day, that's where paradise is going to remain. And, you know, at that point, until the judgment day, apparently, they know what's going on down here. And I think that also comforts us, knowing that we have those faithful family members and brethren, you know, that have moved on. They're in the heavenly realm. You know, they know what's going on, right? I think that's motivation for us also to live better, faithful Christian lives. But to me, that's one argument that, you know, makes sense to me, where I can look at these two passages and figure out what's going on. You could talk about Stephen's prayer, Acts 7, verse 59. You know, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Remember, he's praying. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Jesus is in that heavenly realm. But when we die, like Paul was saying, for me to die is gain. I get to be with the Lord. So to me, the paradise, or paradise is now in the heavenly realm. Also, scriptures speak of Jesus bringing the righteous with him. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. So let's talk about, of course, the second coming of Christ, his return. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord with all his saints. Right? So that his saints are with him. Then you go to chapter 4, 13 and 14. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, euphemism for death, of course, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Right? So we understand this is in reference to the spirits of those who are righteous and who are coming to be... to receive the new resurrected body, I believe, talked about in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. And you also see it here in verse 16, same chapter, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And, you know, of course, I guess, you know, Jesus on his way could pick up the bodies, disembodied spirits of the faithful in paradise and Hadean realm on his way to do this. But in view of these other passages, I don't think that's the case here. And I think the important thing really is to understand and take comfort in the fact that when we die in Christ, we will immediately be with the Lord. Immediately be with Christ. And such passages found after the ascension of Christ, you know, I think that's what we're being taught. You know, those who died before his ascension went to the Hadean realm, to either paradise or torment. But we're promised, you know, for we shall be like him. You know, we shall see him as he is. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. So into his presence, the believer passes as soon as his soul or spirit is absent from the physical body. Into his likeness, the soul is at death immediately transformed. So I think that's great news, and I think that's very comforting. I think everything about the traditional view, as I labeled it, is the same before the ascension of Christ into heaven. Now, I want us to think for just a moment here. You know, if the intermediate state of the righteous changed, why? Now I think that's important. Why? And here's my fuller understanding in this. Mark the 15th chapter. You know, now that change did occur, appears to be clear to me from Scripture. Now, the why, I think some speculation on my part, but here's one a suggestion which makes scriptural sense in what we're taught concerning the nature of God. You know, God's holy. Sin in his presence cannot be tolerated. I think we all know that and believe that, which is why God had to separate himself from Christ when he took on our sins on the cross. Right, he took on the world's sin upon himself, Mark chapter 15 and verse 34. Now the righteous who died before the cross of Christ were forgiven in view of Christ's coming death. Right, we read about that here in Colossians, the second chapter. But prior to the death of Christ, the true price for sin had not yet been paid. Hebrews 9, verses 15 and 16. So until their spirits were actually redeemed from sin by the blood of Christ, they were not permitted into God's presence. So I think that's another reason that it seems that maybe paradise was still in the Hadean realm until after Jesus died, rose again, and ascended to heaven, to God's right hand, where paradise now resides. So after the cross, when he ascended, he paid that eternal price, right? That eternal redemption price. That's what the Hebrews writer, he's saying here in Hebrews 9, 11 through 15 and 23 through 26. And so with such an offering, the spirits of just men were now made perfect. Chapter 12 and verse 23 of Hebrews. And so I think as we give a conclusion here, I think I will go ahead and end it in just a moment. You know, and again, that last part I think is speculation on my part. I get that. I understand that. But it makes sense to me when we're talking about where paradise is. But when we think about a conclusion and the importance of this study, I think it's great motivation for us, right, to be in Christ when we die, whether paradise is in the Hadean realm or with God now in heaven. You know, what a wonderful thought that when we die, we get to be with Christ immediately. And of course, when he comes for Judgment Day, we're going to, it appears, come with him, get our new resurrected bodies, and then get to be with him in heaven eternally. You know, also what a wonderful thought right there. And the opposite is true also. Right? If we're not in Christ and we die, we're going to torment immediately. You know, and torment's awful. Right? Where the rich man, he wanted just a drop of water on the tip of his tongue. And apparently, hell is a lot worse. So think how miserable that is. It, being in torment, knowing that it's never going to end, knowing that something worse is coming. And that's truly a terrifying thought. You know, the Bible isn't designed to answer every single question that we may have in all of these areas. It's designed to give us what we need to know to be saved because of God's great love for us. And he doesn't want us to be separated from him eternally in torment and then hell. You know, he wants to be with us. And like we talked about this morning, he's not far from any of us. Right? He wants us to seek him, to grope for him. There in Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. You know, he wants to have that relationship with us. And so I think, again, these studies are interesting. There is some speculation in there. The part that isn't speculation is paradise, heaven, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be awesome. It's a place prepared for us, for those who are in Christ. And we will talk about, in more detail, torment and hell. We're going to talk more about how wonderful heaven is in this study. So I hope you're here for that. But if there's anyone here this evening that is not in Christ, I really want you to think about this. If you're not in Christ, what awaits you? Right? Whether the preacher up behind the podium's confused you with where paradise is or not, right? If you're not in Christ, something terrible awaits you. So why not take care of that this evening? Right? Get into Christ. Well, how do you get into Christ? Well, you obey his gospel. Right? You're immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Do that because you believe in Jesus, John 8:24. You're willing to repent of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. You're willing to confess him before men, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And reenact that death, burial, and resurrection in water, Romans 6, 3 and 4. So that's what you do. And know that then Christ adds you to his body. You are now in Christ and that journey begins. That way if you die or Jesus returns, you get to be with him in a very wonderful place. If that is your calling this evening, we'd love to help you with that. If you've done that and you've fallen away, and you're afraid of your eternal destination, fear is a good thing. Fear hopefully motivates you to be reconciled to God, whatever it is that you might need, that we can help you with in that. So if you have a need this evening, please let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.